I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord. What a great way to introduce and kind of sum up the texts that are before us on Quinquagesima Sunday, the Sunday that is immediately preceding Ash Wednesday. Please join us for church on Sunday, 8 and 10:30. You can listen online. You can listen on the air. You can come in person. TheCross957.org. Check out our archive sections and also previous sections of this program as well. And also this coming Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, March 6th, we'll gather at 4 and 6:30, begin our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb. We have a fellowship meal at 5. Come and join us and worship our King, our Savior, the one whose sacred head is wounded for us. In our final segment here today, we want to take a look at our Old Testament reading. It's a long narrative, but I think it just ties in so beautifully with everything that we've talked about in our gospel reading and our introit for today. 1 Samuel 16:1-13. You might remember this from your Sunday school days. Vicar?
The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him who I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Aminadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose and went to go to Ramah.
What a marvelous text, what a marvelous narrative. You might remember this from your Sunday school days, and you have all the sons of Jesse being paraded out in front of Samuel the prophet, and Jesse their dad, and nope, not this one. We're not exactly sure how the Lord communicated to Samuel, but he did. We know that clearly. Whether it was a voice, whether it was intuition, we don't know. But that was made clear. I want to go back to the very beginning here. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel?" This part, this verse from 1 Samuel 16, seems to be forgotten in the parade of the boys and the anointing of David. Pastor, what happened? Why was Saul rejected by God? Why was Samuel pouting over the fact that Saul was rejected by God. I thought the people wanted a king. The people picked out Saul. Saul was the one who was the mighty warrior, who was handsome, who was rugged, who had the six-pack abs, who had the Spartan warrior qualities, and he was going to be the king of kings and lord of lords because this was the one that they had handpicked. What happened?
Well, it happened just a chapter before this in the book of 1 Samuel when the people of Israel are going out to fight against the Amalekites, and they're on a mission to destroy the Amalekites. That was what God told them in his word very clearly. Go and strike the Amalekites and devote all they have to destruction. Do not spare them. Kill both man, woman, child, infant, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. And Saul goes out with his army, and he fights against them, but he defeats them. But he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Even though he devoted all the rest of them to destruction, he also spared the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatted calves and the lambs and all that was good. He would not utterly destroy them. And so, other words, Saul didn't listen to God's word. Saul did what he thought was best. Saul made up his own rules and opinions and thoughts. And for that reason, God says to Samuel, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he doesn't listen to my word.
So Saul is rejected by God because he doesn't listen to God. He doesn't do what God says. He certainly does not fear, love, and trust in God above all things because he thinks he has better words than the Lord. Why is Samuel pouting about this? He's down in the dumps, clearly. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? What's happening here?
Well, Samuel has kind of a tough go of it his entire life as a judge. He's a judge in Israel. When the people come to him and say, we don't want a judge anymore, we want a king because everybody else has a king. And Samuel says, this is what a king does. It's not good. They force you to work for them. They make you fight for them. They make you plow his ground to reap his harvest, and you're not free anymore.
They conscript your sons into battle, those kind of things.
He warns them about it, and they still say, we want a king. We don't want a judge anymore. And God tells Samuel, it's not you they're rejecting, but rather it's me that they're rejecting. They don't want me, God, to be their king. They want a man to be king. So what's Samuel do? He goes and he finds Saul and he appoints Saul to be the king. And Saul turns his back, as we just heard, on God's word and is then rejected. So then Samuel has to find another person. And so it's failure after failure after failure from Samuel's point of view in the things that he's supposed to be doing. All the things that he brings about fall and fail, including his own sons, who are also wicked and evil. And so it's hard for Samuel to separate
Hophni
those things.
Hophni and Phinehas?
Yes, yes. I think that sounds right.
Yeah, Hophni and Phinehas, and they're some pretty bad boys.
Yes. So for Samuel, he's looking at everything with his eyes saying, everything I touch fails, and everything I do goes wrong. And he's really struggling with that.
He's struggling with his vocation, and so God says, go down to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city come out to meet him, and they don't give him a very warm reception, do they? They're shaking in their boots. They're trembling. Do you come peaceably? What are they expecting Samuel to do or say? What are they so worried about?
Well, that's a good question. They are afraid because of all the challenges and difficulties that are coming about, and this guy who's supposed to speak for the Lord is coming. They're afraid they might speak judgment, that there'll be some challenge, or they don't really know what to expect, but they know Samuel's the guy who speaks for God.
Primarily, the words out of the prophet's mouth are words of law.
Right.
They end up getting to you to Jesus, but they are words of law. So then we have the famous scene where we have Jesse and all the boys, and not this one, not this one, not this one, and finally, got any more boys? The youngest one, he's out taking care of the sheep. He's insignificant. And the Lord says, or Samuel says, go get him. And the Lord tells Samuel, this is the one. Anoint him, the little boy, as king. The little shepherd boy as king. In our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 18, Pastor, we made a connection, kind of a chiasm, if you would want to, between the disciples who thought they could see but really were blind, and the blind man who thought he was blind but he really could see because he had the eyes of faith. How is that connected to Jesse, the boys, Samuel himself, thinking they could see, but really being blinded to the word and will of God?
Yeah, they weren't seeing things the way that God sees things. God always sees things differently. He sees the reality, whereas we see the appearance. And those two things do not always match. And so they're seeing these big, strong boys who should be just fine to be king, but really that's no different than looking at King Saul himself, who was a big, strong boy. What God is looking at is the faith that's there, the noun that the people are possessing. And David has faith given to him by God, and God sees that faith within him. In a way, too, it reflects what happens earlier in the Old Testament with Joseph and his brothers as well, where God's giving faith to Joseph, and the others look and don't see it, and they're even angry and mistreat him because of it. Same sort of thing happens all the time. God looks not at the outer appearance, but rather at the inner appearance of faith, and that's kind of what's happening here.
And we see that later on, too, when David's brothers are fighting in battle, and a little shepherd boy David comes and brings them a lunch, and he's looked down upon and whatever, and then that big old Philistine by the name of Goliath comes out, and David says, why are you letting this pagan mock the name of the Lord? And then it's like, well, if you think you can do something about it, David, go ahead. And then we see the mighty arm of God that works through even the faith of a little boy. Our eyes often deceive us. Our ears often deceive us. Our feelings and emotions often deceive us. What can we cling to? We can cling to the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, the Bible, which teaches us that we are sinners, and that God loves sinners by sending his son Jesus to bleed and die and rise again from the dead. Forgiveness full and free is yours by grace through faith. Faith, faith alone. That's the theme for our Quinquagesima Sunday. Vicar, would you like to wrap things up by praying the collect of the day, please?
Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of our sins, deliver us from every evil. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Proclaiming the One. We'll be back again next week, the first Sunday in Lent. Please join us for worship, 8 and 10:30, 3825 Wildbriar Lane in Lincoln, Nebraska. And on Wednesday, March 6, Ash Wednesday, 4 and 6 p.m. with a fellowship meal in between. May God richly bless you in Jesus Christ our Lord.